Jambase is pleased to present Clusterflies, a covers compilation reimagining Phish's album Farmhouse, bonus songs, and revamped tracklist. The limited edition 3LP release was mastered by engineer Joe Lampert and includes custom artwork and a poster created by longtime Phish collaborator Jim Pollock. A pre-order is underway now through May 3rd at 11:59 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Visit www.clusterflies.com for purchasing information as well as full album credits and tracklist details. Among the artists who recorded Phish covers for Clusterflies were Umphreys McGee's, Brendan Bayless, Club Delph, Daniel Donato, Sylvan Esso, Chris Forsyth, Neil Francis, Jennifer Hartswick, Amy Helm, Lindsay Liu, Reed Mathis, White Denims, James Petrolli, Strand of Oaks, Sadler Vaden, Vetiver, William Tyler, Riley Walker, and a supergroup led by Tim Palmieri. Each of the songs on Clusterflies will be featured via daily episodes of the Jam Bass podcast, with interviews with the musicians that recorded the cover. This episode features Gotta Jabu, which was covered for Clusterflies by James Petrolli, Sam Cohen, Eric Slick, Mike Sinclair, and 0% APR.
I'm Scott Bernstein, and welcome to the latest installment of Clusterflies. On this episode, we look at Gotta Jabu, a song James Petrolli of White Denim recorded for Clusterflies. Phish guitarist Tranastasio wrote Gotta Jabu with bassist Tony Markellis and drummer Russ Lawton ahead of the trio's debut at Higher Ground in Vermont on February 15, 1999. Gotta Jabu was premiered at Higher Ground during what's considered the first Tranastasio band show. Then, the three-piece played the song 10 times the following May as part of their debut tour. Trey recalled the origins of Gotta Jabu, Sand, and First Tube during a 2000 chat with Jefferson Waffle for jambands.com. I set up a power trio tour with two musicians that I know who do nothing but groove, Tony Markellis and Russ Lawton, Trey told Waffle. Tony's never taken a bass fill in his life. He refuses to. All he thinks about is groove. So I got them into the barn and I had them start grooving. I said, start to groove in the key of C sharp. So they would groove. And I told Russ, I want you to play the simplest beat that you know on the drums. The beat you've been playing since you were 12 years old. The easiest thing you know. And he did. And then I said, now Tony, join in the key of whatever. And we did one in each of the 12 keys. And then they left. Then I wrote the songs around these grooves. Now, Trey brought Gotta Jabu to Phish later in 1999. Despite the trio performances in May, the Phish debut came on the second night of fall tour 1999 at the Gorge on September 10th, as the quartet didn't play the song during summer tour 1999. Gotta Jabu was in heavy rotation through the start of Phish's hiatus following Fall Tour 2000. As Trey noted, Gotta Jabu was based on a simple groove and beat, yet learning how to truly dig into Jabu didn't come easy to Phish. Anastasia revealed Phish struggled to adapt the song at first, and while the band released Gotta Jabu on Farmhouse, it took the group breaking their no-analyzing rule to do so. Trey explained as much to Waffle in that same jambands.com interview. We were learning someone else's groove, Trey said. So that's kind of a hard thing for bass players and drummers to do if it's not their natural feel, and it just wasn't working in the beginning. We were really unhappy with it. I remember we played one show right before the last Hampton show. We all came off stage and we had just played this horrible, non-grooving version of Gotta Jaboo, and everyone was steaming around the band room, like gritting their teeth. Everyone wanted to say something, but we were all just kind of storming around, honoring the no analyzing rule, Anastasio began. Finally, there was just an outburst, and everyone started yelling at the same time, "What the fuck, you know?" And lo and behold, by talking about it, we figured out what was wrong. Fish wasn't swinging the ride. That's basically it. He was playing the ride straight. It's a swung feel, you know? Imagine if you were playing the drums. Even though the kick drum is in the same place in the pattern, if you're right-handed, it's like, and at this point Trey sang the melody to Jefferson, it's basically the simplest swung versus straight, and he had been playing it straight, but it wasn't feeling right, and his solution had been to kind of play it louder, you know? He was trying harder, which doesn't work either. As soon as he said that, the next time we played it was in Hampton. It was the first time it was really great, and that was right before we went into the studio. Had we not analyzed it, it may not have ended up on the album. Yet it did wind up on Farmhouse. Fish is joined on the studio version by a horn section consisting of Dave Grippo on sax, Jennifer Hartswick on trumpet, and James Harvey and Andy Moroz on trombone. Here's a bit of the studio version featuring the horns.
Mama sing, sing, what you got your boo? Mama sing, got your boo. Mama sing, sing, what you got your boo? Mama sing, got your boo too. Mama sing, sing, what you got your boo? Mama sing, got your boo. Mama sing, sing, what you got your boo? Got your boo and you keep on drinking too.
It's interesting that Gotta Jaboo just kind of fades out on Farmhouse. I've always wondered how long the full version they recorded was, as opposed to the quote-unquote unfinished take that made the album. Fish had certainly learned how to dig into Gotta Jaboo in time for their 28-minute monster version at Camden's E Center on Independence Day 2000. This must-hear Jaboo was 13 minutes longer than the second longest version of the song. Our friends at Fishnet did a great job of describing the Camden Jaboo in their jam chart. And I quote, "At first, there is a standard Jaboo tension release playing, followed by a passage of rhythmic complexity propelled by Fish's woodblocks. This section eventually shifts to a celebratory hose passage, which culminates in a breathtaking peak. This devolves into dissonant and chaotic jazz that would feel at home in 1995. End quote. This Camden Jaboo is the perfect example of a style of jamming referred to by fans as millennium jamming, or space funk with a side of jazz. In 2001, the year after Farmhouse was released, Trey hit the road with an expanded version of the Trey Anastasio Band that included a horn section. Tab played 11 versions of Jaboo in 2001 and often took the song deep. Some must-hear takes from that year include a 26-minute scorcher from Virginia Beach on July 31st, 2001, as well as a well-jammed version from March 5th, 2001 at Atlanta's Fox Theater, and another worldly Gotta Jaboo from The Tower in Philadelphia on February 24th, 2001. That just might be the best Gotta Jaboo any band has played. Take a listen to one of the peaks from The Tower Jaboo. We'll be right back. A mere two Gotta Jaboos followed from Tab in 2002, with the one from Deer Creek on June 8, 2002, reaching well beyond the lauded 20-minute mark. Oddly, Gotta Jaboo was played just once during Tab's Spring Tour 2003, and then the song disappeared from Trey's solo repertoire until August 6, 2005. However, Gotta Jaboo returned to regular rotation later that year and has been a Tab staple ever since. Most versions have been straightforward, especially over the past decade. Fish returned from hiatus on December 31, 2002, and kept Gotta Jaboo as a rarity throughout the post-hiatus period. Courts had played Jaboo three times in 2003, yet each one was considered jam chart worthy by Fishnet. A stellar version was performed in Rosemont on February 20th, 2003. Fish explored wild soundscapes throughout. Hear a bit of the Rosemont 2003 Jaboo, in which the band connects on a meaty groove. Three additional Gotta Jaboos followed in 2004, before Fish's five-year breakup. While the band didn't play the song at their comeback shows in Hampton in 2009, Jaboo was played early on during their summer tour that year, and the quartet has regularly performed the song over the past 12 years outside of a 30-show gap and a 44-show gap. A hybrid Tab-Fish version took place at SPAC in Saratoga Springs, New York on June 20th, 2010, when Tony Markellis played bass on Gotta Jaboo, while Mike Gordon was on second guitar.
We're going to do something that we're really excited about now that we hope you'll enjoy as much as we will. We're going to play a song here now, our dear, old dear friend from all the way back in Burlington. Let me just tell you a quick story here. Because it's so good. The first time I ever went and visited Vermont, the first night I got there, I went out and went dancing to a band called Big Joe Burrell and the Unknown Blues Band. Some of you have obviously heard of them. And the man standing next to me was playing the bass. He became one of my dearest friends and one of our dearest friends, played at my wedding, and is now plays in the Tab band with me. And what we want to do here is we're going to play a song that was written by Tony, and it's Tony Markellis, by the way, local. He lives right in your town here. A big hand for him. Saratoga native, and whenever we come to town, we just want to see him. So two things we want to try. One is to get to play a song with Tony, is a song that he wrote, and the other is for the first time ever to try playing with two guitars, with me and Mike both on the guitar. This is something we've talked about for 15 years. So we hope you enjoy it as much as we're gonna.
This marked the only God of Jabu guest appearance for the 86 times Phish has performed the song. Most 3.0 Phish versions have been concise, yet they did take God of Jabu deep on New Year's Eve 2017 at Madison Square Garden in New York City. Most recent performance of the song took place on October 16th, 2020, as the opener of Trey's second of eight The Beacon Jams livestream concerts, originating from New York City's Beacon Theater. In a rig rundown video that was released in 2013, Trey was showing off his entire effects chain setup. When asked if he sometimes uses different effects for different songs, he said he always mixes it up. He was trying to think of one that was the same every time on the spot, and he remembered Jabu. Trey stepped over to his Digitech Whammy pedal and showed off how he combines it with the boomerang to play that signature sound you hear every time the Jabu jam starts.
Yeah. There's definitely no plan on the pedals. As a matter of fact, that's what I meant about why it's so important to get really familiar with your gear. There's a couple of times when I use the same thing, you know, like maybe at the beginning of God of Jabu, you know, the... But I used to do that for 15 straight minutes. We don't do that anymore. But no, I don't know. No, you make it up as you go along. As a matter of fact, I got this TC Electronics Echo just for a tiny little...
So what is a Jabu? Anastasio addressed the topic in response to a question from a fan on Twitch following the performance of the song at the Beacon Jams. Trey tried to pawn it off on Tony, who turned it back on the guitarist. Ciro then chimed in that a Jabu is someone from the Midwest, and continued with the response that, to be honest, was hard to make out and seemed more of a joke than a true response.
Skinny Bud asks if I can explain what a Jabu is. Tony, can you explain what a Jabu is?
No, but I know a guy who could.
Who's that?
You.
Oh, no. Ciro, you probably could.
I think a Jabu used to live in the Midwest, no? From the Midwest.
I think it was a Midwestern desert, species, yeah.
And it's kind of look at that Australian animal who jumped, what's the name? A kangaroo. It's kangaroo, Jabu, I don't know.
A kangaroo. Well, there you go, Skinny Bud. You heard it here first.
It seems we may never know exactly what a Jabu is. However, Phish did issue a legal notice within the playbill distributed to fans in Atlantic City on Halloween 2010 that read, "Petitioner's request to change the present legal name of God of Jabu to the name Seriously, I Really Have to Jabu has been rejected." Perhaps we'll never know what Jabu means, but whatever it is, we certainly gotta do it. I spoke with James Petrolli about his God of Jabu for Clusterflies. Gotta Jabu. thanks, James, for taking the time to chat with us and, of course, for contributing Gotta Jabu to Cluster Flies. How familiar were you with the song before you took on the assignment?
Super familiar.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Farmhouse was, that was, when did that, that came out in 2000, 2000 right?
Yeah.
So that was like peak Phish for me. I anticipated that album, like pre-ordered it from the record store in my college town and everything. So,
and
yeah, that wasn't on the album though, right?
One more time.
Was Gotta Jabu wasn't actually on the physical album though.
No,
was it?
It is. It is.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. Gotta Jabu is, I could be wrong, but no, it's on the album. Yeah. Because there's horns on the album.
Okay. Yeah. So I'd been listening to it on tapes, like, you know, kind of preferred the live stuff on it.
Sure.
I'm going to do that Phish fan cliche.
And your version is extremely different than Phish's version. I love the reggae feel to it. How did you go about the process of deciding how you were going to interpret Gotta Jabu?
Well, you know, I've been in the studio like every day, you know, experimenting with different things throughout this entire pandemic, and have always really loved dub production. But have never, you know, so this ask kind of provided an excuse for me to really dive down that rabbit hole, so to speak. So I reached out to a couple of friends about it, and I embarrassingly kind of, I've watched a couple of YouTube videos just to make sure I was doing it right.
I was wondering what you saw, listened to before beginning the process.
Yeah. So, I just watched a bunch of footage of, you know, Lee Perry in the studio and you know, kind of tried to do like the most true to form, like employ the same techniques and the same equipment. And, you know, actually the controller on the whole thing, like I did a bunch of dubs at my place, but the guy who did the final mix is Sam Cohen.
Oh, so, wow. Apollo Sunshine and Yellowbirds fame.
Yeah. Yeah. So Sam and I had this, you know, we have this love for Scientist and Lee Perry and like all the Wackies records and things like that. So, just an excuse for us to try and make some pretty direct studio flexes, you know? So that was kind of the thing.
And who else contributed to your version?
A guy here in Austin named Mike St. Clair, who I collaborate with really regularly. And Eric Slick, the session drummer, he plays in Dr. Dog and has his own thing as well. So it was kind of a remote collaboration.
And there's also a female voice on there as well.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. So there's this band here in Austin. I forget. It's been a while since I made that recording. Band here in Austin called Being Dead that made a guest appearance as, I think it's 0% APR was the name they chose. Okay. But it's this, you know, this kind of like psychedelic art punk band, that's kind of just getting started in Austin that I really like. So, they wrote their own like feature verse for the song too, right?
Yeah, no, that's really cool. I love the addition of the lyrics there.
Yeah. I had one thing in mind when they came in the studio, but they're very, you know, like they have a vision and they do what they do. And I was kind of trying to steer them into this more conventional thing. And I'm so glad that they didn't listen to me at all on the session. Cause they, it was a really, really cool thing to hear.
How long did it take to record the song?
I think the first round of recording, I kind of did the guitars and keyboards, and percussion and some dubs like over a, you know, 10 hour day and then kind of pieced some, you know, the other overdubs like horns and those things in another 5 day or a 5 hour kind of thing. and then sent a bunch of crazy stuff to Sam. And I don't know how long he spent on it. I had no notes on his mix. I mean, he nailed it. And if you hear where it left my studio, it ended up in a completely different place. So Sam like really shaped the recording that you hear.
And did you give him any direction when you sent him the recording?
No, I you know, like we talked about a couple of records, and you know, I printed a few sounds that kind of put it in a certain time period of dub. And
sure.
He's just that kind of engineer, that kind of creative mind and, you know, dub reggae fan, that he was just like on it. You know, he gave it like a real kind of like early dance hall kind of scientist kind of feel.
No doubt. And so I take it from your familiarity with Gotta Jabu that you've seen the band. What's your familiarity with Phish?
So Phish kind of dominated my. I had like a couple of years where it was like you know, the things that John McLaughlin played on and Phish, and that was about it.
Okay.
And bands that kind of reminded me of that. So like, my junior and senior year of high school, I was way, way in. So,
what years would you peg that as?
90s, you know, the years.
Right.
You
know? Like
the late 90s. Those are the years that I was really, really into. But yeah, I went all the way back. I mean, the first record that I got into was Junta. And, you know, it's been since my early 20s that I was an avid, like, you know, I had, you know, I don't know how many tapes, like at least a couple cases of the XL2s, you know? I was into it, man. And I saw them probably 7 or 8 times. And then, so Woodlands in Houston was the last, or 99, I think was the fall of 99 tour was the last time I saw them until Lock-In, like, you know, 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, 2016.
So I took a long break. But the Lock-In experience was like, you know, I'm sure it was great. I felt like I'd kind of put it out of my mind, like how much my guitar playing and like melodic sensibility was, you know, influenced by Trey's playing. And I felt like I needed to cut him a royalty check for a couple of my tunes. I was like, I can't remember what it was, something off of Billy Breathe's, that I was like, oh shit, I need to check in maybe. But I think they're doing okay. They're not going to chase me for it.
No. And do you recall what your first Phish show was?
What was my first Phish show? It would have been 98. At the Starplex.
Okay. Yeah.
In Dallas.
Yeah. That summer.
Is that what it is? Yeah. 98 or 97.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Excellent. And, what are some of your favorite
Peaches and Regalia? I remember, and it was like a jump in the air moment, like for my buddies and I.
Can you say that again? I lost you there.
They did Peaches and Regalia, which was like a, you know, like one of those moments where all my buddies and I high-fived in the air kind of thing.
Like, those are the best moments.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah. And what are some of your favorite Phish songs?
I really like the Billy Breathe's record a lot. You know, as far as like the songwriting, I feel like was really strong on that record. I don't know, man. I mean, my favorite Phish songs. Let's see. I always liked You Enjoy Myself a lot. I think that's the one that hooks like a lot of people.
It's like their signature, the national anthem of Phish, as Trey once described it.
Yeah. So I always, that was definitely between that and like Fee from the Junta record. Like all those arpeggios and the playing, like, you know, I like the sound of Phish is my favorite song.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
I totally get what you mean.
Yeah. Like, I don't really know. I mean, they did so many things off of Hoist are really cool. I mean, what's the Maze? What's that record's called? Rift, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Like, I mean, the playing on that record, Rift, is, it's a more challenging record, but the playing I feel like is really, really incredible.
I mean, that's probably Phish at their tightest. I mean, playing 150 shows a year and, you know, have 6 years of that, you know? And,
yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. Great record. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, we thank you very much again for contributing Gotajibu. Really excited for people to hear it. It's such a interesting out of the box version. And thanks for taking the time to talk with me.
That brings an end to this episode of the Jam Bass Podcast's Clusterflies series. Many thanks to James for chatting with us and for participating in the Clusterflies project. Be sure to visit Jambase to hear James Petrolli, Sam Cohen, Eric Slick, Mike Sinclair, and 0% APR's cover of Phish's Gotajibu, and visit www.clusterflies.com to purchase your copy of Clusterflies today.